Well, if there's ever a time that we ought to stand, it's now. Amen. We live in a time when everybody seems to be kneeling. But I think Christians ought to be standing. Amen. Stand firm. Stand firm on what you believe. Hold some conviction. Don't go with every wind of doctrine and every new fad. Find a place in the Word of God and stand. Stand on what you believe. As I was thinking this past week about today, I've been preaching through the book of Philippians, and I had already began to do some research in the book of Philippians out of chapter 4 on peace and what it takes to have peace. And then I just doing some reference and some references through some scriptures, and I ran across a reference here in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, and I began to read some of this, and the Lord just really spoke to my heart about preaching to you on this subject. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? It's a question that was prompted by David's brother when he began to misread his motive as to why he was doing what he was doing. And of course, David was there. And when he got to the battle scene, he saw some things that greatly disturbed him. And as your pastor this morning, I'm greatly disturbed by some things that I see. And I trust that I speak to a group of Christians that feels the same way. You ought to be greatly disturbed about some things that you see in our world, first and foremost, but in our country. And then I think we could narrow it on down and say in our churches. It's just a shame as to how far backwards we're moving. And I want to encourage you this morning to find a cause. That's the heart of this message. Find a cause. You know, people with the cause live with a purpose. People without a cause just seem to lead aimless lives. And they just exist rather than living. Can I ask you this morning, what is your purpose? What is your cause? Why do you do what you do? What is the basis? What is the premise that motivates you to do the things you do? You know, there's an enemy that has an agenda. He has a cause, and he has many soldiers that have signed up to help propagate and to produce and bring about that cause. But I thank God I belong to an army too. And my captain is none other than the captain of my salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a cause too. He has a purpose. He has a plan, and it's far greater than the plan of the enemy. I think this is what propelled David from this moment right here. This was David's training ground. It was his testing time for what lie ahead for him as the king of Israel. He passed the test with flying colors. I'm looking across our congregation and I'm asking myself a question, where are our young Davids? David, during this time in his life, was probably at teenage years, at oldest in his early 20s. As a matter of fact, when you read this section of Scripture, and I encourage you to do so, the entire chapter of 1 Samuel 17 in particular, in your own private time, you'll find that he was at the age to where his cheeks were still what is called ruddy. In other words, they were red from youth, and Goliath mocked him for his youth, that he would stand and take a step forward to challenge him for the position that he took in defying the armies of Israel. And I'm wondering, will God raise up some little Davids? Will God raise up some young men and young women in this next generation that won't be searching for a safe space? That won't be searching for a space of conscientious unparticipation? To where they'll just say, well, I'm gonna just stay back and see what happens. What if David would have done that day? I'm just going to lay back and see what takes place. We need some people that will engage in the battle. We need some people that will set the example. We need some men and women like these men and women that stood up before our congregation this morning that had a cause. They went and they fought for something. They believed in something. They stood for something. And it seems like that the longer that our country drifts away from those kinds of men and women, the worse shape we're in. Seems like people will just go with anything these days. Anything. Brethren, I'm here to tell you this morning that the foundation of our faith is being attacked. It's under attack. It's under siege. Our young people are being lured. They're being seduced. They're being brainwashed by the enemy. And there's a group of people that call themselves by the name of God that need to step up and let their voices be heard. Stand for something. Stand for something. Fight for something. Can I tell you, there's some things worth living for, and there's some things worth dying for. Listen, where has that gone? Where has that gone? To where there's something worth living for. There's something worth dying for. There's just some things worth fighting for. Being different. Speaking out. Standing up. Having some conviction. Not just going with the flow. Go against the flow. Amen. Go against the current. Amen. Stand up for what you believe. Amen. Here was a young man who had what it took. And I want to just bring a few truths from this very well-known story. Some things that if you're not careful, you'll read and you'll overlook. And I've done it before. But as I was reading this week, God reminded me of some things and even showed me some things that I had overlooked in the time past. I want you to notice some things with me. But before we get into what I want to read to you, I don't think that I have to go into great detail to remind you of the society in which we live. It's a sad day in which we live, brethren. And just talking about it's not going to change it, but we need to be reminded of really what kind of society, what kind of culture has crept into our country. We are living in a day, I just read this past week, to where they're trying to pass a law to where you would not put on the birth certificate of a newborn, whether it's male or female, that it would remain blank until that newborn got to the age where they could make the decision what they wanted to be. So that if they decided to be contrary to that God made them, then they can make that decision, and it would then be placed on the birth certificate, and no one would know. We're living in a society where men want to look like women. I don't understand it. I know you don't understand it, but it's so. Men want to look like women, want to walk like women, want to dress like women, want to talk like women, want to act like women. I do not understand that. There's nothing in me that understands that. And yet it's so. Where women want to look like men, dress like men, act like men. And yet it's accepted in our culture. It's accepted in our culture. You're looking at a preacher that will never accept that. Never. God made them in the beginning male and female. And that's the way God intended it to be. You say, oh, preacher, you sound like you hate folks. I love people. And I want to get people saved. And I'll minister to anybody, anyone. I've ministered to people on all levels of life. We'll continue to do that by the grace of God. But I refuse to back off what this book teaches. And you ought to refuse to. Stand up for what you believe. Hey, I wrote down something. And brethren, it's coming to pass. Things that we ignore today. Now listen to me. Things that we ignore today will be accepted tomorrow. Things that we ignore today will be accepted tomorrow. Who would have ever thought that standing in a Bible-believing Baptist church, that we would even have to discuss things where people cannot even get what gender they want to be. You are what you are. What gender you're supposed to marry. Men marry women. Women marry men. Amen. Children obey their parents. Men lead their homes. Mamas mother their children. Preachers preach the Bible. There's just some things that ought not have to be told. And yet we're living in a day where, listen, nothing is settled. Everything's situation ethics. How did we get here? Watch this. The reality of the day of what we're going to look at will escape you if you do not know some things about your geographic geography and the geographic location in which this scene takes place. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, notice carefully the wording of the Holy Ghost, who wants us to know that the enemy has brought the battle to the home front. Now listen carefully, don't miss this. Oh, I know there was a day when the enemy was fighting a long distance fight. When the enemy was trying to attack the church from outside, trying to attack the home from outside, trying to attack the schools from outside. Can I tell you, the enemy has moved in. 1 Samuel 17, verse 1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. And the Spirit of God said, I want you to write this down. And were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah. Not the Philistines, not the enemy, belonged to the people of God, Judah. They had moved in, marched in to the home front to do battle. It's no longer, listen, it's no longer from a distance. They've come right where we are. They're defying. We're moving in the homes. We're moving in the schools. We're going to brainwash. Listen, we're going to turn them. We're going to berate them. We're going to bring them to our side. There's no shame anymore. We're going to teach your children to accept the unacceptable, to do those things that are unconscionable. No shame. We're going to invest millions and billions and multi-millions of dollars in pumping out filth on the tube. Vulgarity over the air. Because we'll stop at nothing to get your children. That's the enemy. The Bible says here that in this day, the children of Israel had gotten so lax under the leader of a king by the name of Saul, who was so obsessed with himself that he forgot the needs of the people, forgot what God had commissioned him to do. And now the enemy is now into the homeland. They've gotten on the home turf. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Once the enemy got there, the Bible says, which belongeth to Judah, pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesadamim. You know where that is? About 15 miles outside of Jerusalem. That's close to home, brethren. Close to home. The things, the places where once you thought were safe havens are no longer safe havens. The enemy has turned people's focus to where now when our bus ministry goes out, parents, and listen, you can't blame them now. They have to take precaution because of some things that have happened in the name of church, in the name of religion, in the name of ministry, in the name of Christianity. And now people look weary and listen, weary when you go and you knock on their door and they're wondering, what's this person after? Why do they want my children? Are we not there, brethren? Are we not there? There was a day when parents could feel safe putting their children on a church bus, sending their children or bringing their children and letting them go to Sunday school. But the enemy has crept into the church. The enemy has crept into our homes, rearranged everything. No respect for authority. No respect, no manners.
No standard of living. Anything goes. Now we've got people, we've got our Greg Locks. Listen, I'm going to get mad at you, preacher. Well, don't stay mad at me. We've got our Greg Locks of the world getting on the YouTube saying, hey, it doesn't matter what you wear. It does matter what you wear. Amen. If it doesn't matter what you wear, don't wear anything. I'm here to tell you it does matter. It matters what you wear. It matters how you live. It matters how you pray. It matters what Bible you read. It matters what church you go to. It matters. And we backed off and said, well, you know, in order to get along with the world, we're going to just go along with anything. That's how the enemy finds his way to the homeland. Amen. Amen. We got churches that won't even preach against sin. Can I tell you, if God said it was wrong, it's wrong. Amen. If God said it was sin, it's sin. You don't have to get a dictionary out. You don't have to watch the latest episode of Last Man Standing or some other conservative television program. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen. Right. Say amen with me now. We're Christians. We believe the Bible. And the Bible says that is a transgression against God's law is sin. Right. That hasn't changed, brethren. Right. There's a cause. You see, we're left here for a cause. God saved me for a purpose, for a cause. If you're saved, God saved you for a purpose, for a cause. We're part of a team. We're part of an army. And we're not to retreat. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. We're to be on the offensive. You know what these people are? They're on the defensive. Right. Why? They got lax. They drop their stand. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if our children listen to the ungodly, vulgar, profane rap and rock music. It doesn't matter if mom and dad listen to that sorry country music. Listen to me. It doesn't matter. Just live any way you want. Enjoy life and do your thing. Hey, that is the propaganda of the enemy. Amen. The devil. Yeah. Yeah. Why? There's a cause. There's a cause. Mama dressing their girls like boys, little boys, looking like little boys. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. There's someone watching on our live broadcast, and you find it in your heart, want to dress your little girl like a little boy. Something wrong with you. And then we wonder why they get confused on what gender they are. Letting little Tommy play and act like little Tammy. Something's not right. Right. Ah, preacher, you're just one of those chauvinistic. I'm a born-again, blood-washed child of God. I believe this book, and I'm not backing off of it. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. You say, you preach this way all the time? Not enough. I don't preach this way all the time. But there's a time that we have to wake up. I want to rattle your cage a little bit. So that you can understand this morning with me, brethren, there is a cause. Amen. Amen. There's a cause. What's your cause? To make money? To have a good time? To do good? That's not a cause worth dying for. You give people a cause worth living for and a cause worth dying for, you've got yourself an army. You know what happens when people retreat and allow the enemy to come to their homeland? Look at verse number 16. This is sad, but so. Not only did the enemy come to the homeland, in verse number 16, the Bible says, and the Philistines drew near morning and evening. The Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days, mocking the people of God, the army of God, for 40 days, all day, every day, Brother Corey, all day, every day, mocking, laughing, jeering. I want to bring that up to our day. You say you're a Christian. Ha ha ha! You're some Christian you are. Huh? Who'd you say your God was? Your God doesn't have enough power to get you in the house of God regularly. Get you on your knees and get you changed. Listen, if God doesn't have enough power to change you and to change me, what do you think is going to make them believe that he has enough power to change them? So here's the enemy. In David's day, the enemy had presented himself right there on a land belonging to the homeland, to the people of God. Then come in and took it and said, we're going to do battle with you right here on your turf. We're come to where you are. We're no longer going to fight you from afar. We're coming to where you are. And we're coming after you. What are you going to do? You know why they were coming? You want to know? Listen to me carefully now. Don't miss this. Why did this battle take place? See, they had something in mind. They wanted to make slaves of them all. See, really, when you begin to look back at battles, it's about money. It's about power. It's about greed. And the Philistines said, you know what? We want you to bow down to us. In a physical sense, the Philistines wanted the people of God, we want you to bow down to us. We believe our God is God and your God doesn't exist, and we want you to bow down to us. We want you to serve us. Notice what the scripture says. Look at it here. The Bible says that when they came and they fought and they said, this is what we're going to do. Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8, it says, he, meaning Goliath, you know about Goliath. I'm not going to go into all the detail here because of time. He stood and he cried with the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. Now here it is right here. He said, I want to do battle. I want to fight. And here's why. He said, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. That's the goal of the devil for every person in here. The devil wants you to serve him. The devil doesn't want you serving God. You say, I don't even believe in the devil. You're already serving him. He's got you blinded and brainwashed. You're already serving the enemy. See, this is the motive. This is the goal. This is the agenda of the enemy. He wants to enslave us. He wants to put us in fetters and bonds to where we have no liberty, to where we cannot exercise the God-given liberty that is instilled in every man that comes into this world. And then for you who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, we have a spiritual liberty that the Spirit of God gives us when we're born again. The devil wants to take that. He wants to take it. He wants you to live your Christian experience in bound. Bound. And so he offers cheap substitutes, and he tells you that all of these things are going to make you understand and have and accomplish what you really need in life. What you really need is to be sold out to Jesus Christ. It's the only way to have freedom and liberty and purpose in life. So we find this day, it's a reality, brethren. It's real. This is not just some pep talk. This is real. We're facing this today. It's all around us. But for me to get up here and to bring it to your attention, that's not going to solve it. So I want to give you two things. First of all, I want you to notice with me the responsibility that David took. Now, whose responsibility is it to fight the enemy? Depends on whose side you're on. Who's on the Lord's side? You saved? Do you really know Jesus as your personal Savior? Has there ever been a time in your life that you can go back to and say, there's when it happened right there. I repented of my sin and I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Now you're in the Lord's army. And it is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's our responsibility to make a difference in this community. It's our responsibility to stand up and to be counted, to speak up and be heard. You know, when evil prevails, when good men do nothing. That's when evil prevails. I believe I could start right here with Brother Davey and go all the way over here to Brother Sneed. And I believe what I could do is ask everyone to get up and tell me, do you agree that our country is in a mess? I believe everyone had to say, yes, I believe we're in a mess. Now, you may think for different reasons, but we're in a mess. Who's going to change it? The president? I'm not in any way defaming. I am not belittling the office of the presidency. I respect the office of the presidency. Just in case someone here wants to hate me more than you already do by now, I voted for President Donald Trump. You say, I don't like that. Well, it's okay. We can still be friends, can't we? Oh, no, we can't. Not now. Well, you better fasten your seatbelt because it's getting ready to get really rough. If a vote I cast is going to change the way you feel about me, I've got some things left to say that really might change some things. But hear me now. The presidency. You say, well, the House. I got depressed because the Republicans lost the House. That didn't depress me. Or I got all excited because the Republicans gained the Senate. Brother, that's not where the answers that we're looking for come from. The answer's right here. Here's the answer right here. And in every place similar to this is the answer. When God's people realize there is a cause, my question to you today, is there not a cause? Are our children not worth fighting for? Do you realize what has happened to our country in the last 10 years? 10 years, count them. 10 years. God forbid you go back 20. Have you taken note of the direction of our country, of our world in the last 20 years? Where are we going to be when these young people become adults? Where are they going to go to church? Who's going to preach the Bible to them? Is it even going to be lawful to preach the Bible? Is it even going to be lawful to own a Bible? Where's this thing headed? They brought it to our homeland. They're fighting on our turf. And we seem to be pacified and seem to be okay. You know, man, we're comfy cozy, preacher. Hey, this is not a time to play. This is a time to fight, brethren. This is a time to stand up and be counted. You say, I'm a Christian. Live like it. I'm not being mean to you. I'm shooting straight with you. If you're a Christian, live like a Christian. Act like a Christian. Walk like a Christian. You say, I don't know how to do that. This book right here will tell you how to do it. Right here. When I got saved back in 1980, I did not know anything about how to be a Christian, what a Christian is, and how a Christian is supposed to live and act. But when I got saved and got in this book, God began to teach me what a Christian is. Amen. How I'm to live. God will teach you too if you want to know. So here's David. What's his responsibility? Well, I want you to notice what he said here. Notice if you would in verse number 17. The Bible says in verse number 17 that Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp for thy brethren. And he did that. You read verse 18, you'll find where he did it. What is being taught us here? David had some family in the battle. I've got some family in the battle. See, there is a cause. Is there not a cause? There is a cause. Why? There's people I care about in the battle. And I'm not going to let them fight on their own. And if they're not, listen, if they're losing or they're going down and they're being defeated, I'm not going to stand by and just let that be. I'm going to join up by the grace of God and I'm going to pray. I'm going to do everything that I can do to ensure that they have the best opportunity to reach their potential for victory in Jesus. I want to set an example. I want every young David in this congregation to look at their pastor and their preacher and say, I want to be like him one day. You ought to desire the same. Amen. Amen. You ought to find you a young man, a family in this church and tell your children, look at that man right there. Look at that man right there. Look at that man right there. Look at these men. There's a Christian right there. There's a successful man. Amen. Amen. There's a man you can emulate your life after. We've got them with these people running around bling bling and you know hopping around, their britches down to their backside. Hey, your children ought not emulate that. That's garbage. Don't let your children emulate that. Run around with cigarette out of their mouth and a shot of whiskey singing, "She left me last night, now I don't know what to do." That's garbage. And we say we're Christians. We belong to the one true and living God who is holy. We've left all in the name of holy out. And now look where we're at. We've let them come in our schools and just bring anything in there. They're Egyptian. It's a terrible state we're in. What did David do? He went to the battle. Notice what the Bible says. His father, by the way, let me say this. You say, "Well, I'm not a little David." Well, be a Jesse then. Amen. Jesse did what he could. Now, that's what I get out of this. Verse 17, Jesse said unto David, he said, "His son, take to thy brethren." Jesse couldn't go fight. The fighting days for Jesse were over. But I tell you what he did do. He supplied some things to strengthen those that were in the fight. How about praying for these little Davids? Amen? How about encouraging them? How about sending them some things that will strengthen them? How about letting them know, "I'm behind you, son. I'm behind you, daughter. I stand with you. Stand strong. Don't back up. Don't give up. I'm proud of you, son." See, that's the place of our Jessies. And we need some Jessies. And we need some little Davids who will run. Notice where David went when he got there. Notice, if you would, the Bible says in verse number 20 that David, he rose up early in the morning. In verse number 20, he did as Jesse had commanded him, and he came. Look where he came to, verse 20, the trench. Oh, David, he wasn't looking for a place in the back. He went right to the front. You say, "Well, preacher, I can't be a frontline soldier." Well, you know, not everybody's going to be a frontline soldier. But you get in where you can get in and you do something for the Lord. Amen. Everybody in here can do something for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, you can. You say, "Preacher, I can't serve God." No, you can. We're here to help you. We're a team. We're an army. We're not divided. There's great unity here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And it's because we respect one another and we love one another and we help one another and we pray for one another and we stand with one another. And I'm not preaching this message this morning to anger you or to get you at odds. I'm preaching this message this morning, number one, because God told me to, but number two, we need to be challenged that there is a cause. It's time for we as God's people to stand up and say, "Enough is enough." Amen. There's a cause. We're pushing back. We're pushing back. We're going to take our stand. We're going to start doing things the way God said do them. And then there'll be great blessing awaiting for us and great reward. By the way, children, I want you to notice something that I have marked in my Bible in the middle of verse number 20. When David did what he did, I want you to notice what it said. It said, "As Jesse had commanded him." You say, "I want to serve God, preacher. I want to be found acceptable in God's sight." Then obey your parents. That's where it begins. Amen. Obey your parents, children. "Well, I don't agree with my parents." The Bible didn't say children agree with your parents. It said children obey your parents. Amen. So David took some responsibility. He had some family in the battle, but he realized his future was at stake. He stood to lose his liberty. He stood to become a servant. Now, listen, your eternity, if you're saved, that's been settled. Everybody say amen with me now. Hey, if you're saved, you ought to jump up when you leave here. You don't even have to wait till you leave. You ought to jump up if you can and click your heels. Now, if you can't, don't. I won't pick you up. Amen. That's why I won't do it. You'd have to come pick the preacher up if I try to click my heels. But I can do it like this. I'll do it Dorothy style. I ain't going to do Dorothy. I don't want to be like a woman. Listen to me. The Bible teaches us here that when David got in the battle and when he went to the array of the battle, the scripture says that when he went there to take part, to be a part of the action. Why? He knew he stood to lose something. He knew. Your eternity is settled. You're not going to lose that. But what about your future? See, you're going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But now your future has a little to do with your eternity, because your future is going to determine the journey on the way there. Don't let the devil rob you of the potential of the future that God has for you, a purpose. So I ask again, is there not a cause? Something to fight for, something to stand for. You know, we need to give our children something to stand for, something to fight for. Challenge them. Take those video games away from them. The children's going to get really mad at the preacher now. Take those video games away from time to time and teach them some history. Amen. I like what whoever said, I think it was Pastor Brandon said, we ought to teach our children to acknowledge veterans and to thank them and say that they're grateful for their service to our country. And I agree with that 100%. Teachers and preachers that teach right and preach the Word of God, our young people ought to be going up to them and saying, I thank God for you. I'm thankful for you. I pray for you. I had a young lady at our church just last week who gave me a card, and in that card was a dollar bill. And some might have said, a dollar bill? What's a dollar bill? To me, it was a lot, because of the kindness of her heart. And she had a little letter in there and said, I want you to know I appreciate you as my pastor. That done great things for me. See, that's a parent or parents training their children to respect proper authority and thank God for those who stand in the gap. And it goes right back to our veterans. I want to close with this. So here's David. There's a lot in here. We see the enemy brought it to homeland territory, right there on their turf. But David did not allow that to stop him. Jesse did not back up and say, well, we're done. Jesse said, I can't do it all, but I'm going to do my part. And Jesse done his part. He supported. He stood behind. He sent rationings. He was there. And then he sent little David. Now, you little Davids, listen up to me. This is for you. We got a little David in here. Amen. But this is for all of our little Davids this morning. This is for all of you. Back there in the back, this is for all of you. God has a special plan for your life. He does. Find a cause in life, a cause for Christ, a cause for good, a cause for eternity, and live it. Live it. Purpose in your heart. You're not going to let anything deter you from living God's purpose in your life. That's what this young man did. You know what it did? It gave him confidence, and that's how I'm going to close. It gave him great confidence. And I have many more things here, but I want to say this. When David went to the battle and he got there, he got a lot of ridicule. Now, listen to me. When you make up your mind, and I've made up my mind now, I'm not changing my mind. I'm going to serve Jesus with my life. Well, I'm not going to do it. Well, you're the loser. I don't say that mean. I've never met anyone that served Jesus with their life that was sorry that they've done it. But I've met many that were sorry that they didn't. When you make up your mind to serve Jesus, David had made up his mind. I'm going to fight for what I believe. I don't care how big the enemy is. I don't care how outnumbered we are. I'm going to fight for what I believe. I'm going to stand where I stand. And when he got there, notice in verse number 28, if you would, 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 28, look there if you would, his brother, you're going to get a little opposition. And it's going to come from some unlikely sources. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be insulted. All right? And they're going to try to make you seem insignificant. That's what's happening here. Look at verse 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Now, the real truth is he was jealous because God chose David to be king instead of him. But I wasn't going to get into that. But that causes a lot of people to want to insult you and want to belittle you. It's because they're jealous of you. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave, the Bible teaches. And so when people get jealous of you, they're going to start trying to tear you down. Am I right? And that's what's happening here. And he said in verse number 28, he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep? You're insignificant. What you do doesn't count. What you do doesn't matter. Can I tell you, anything you do for God matters. Anything you do for God matters. You say, well, it's not a lot, preacher. Well, you just keep doing what you're doing. God's counting. Amen? God's counting. God sees. Well, then if you look at verse number 29, David said, what have I now done? David said, I hadn't done anything yet. I just came down here. You haven't seen nothing yet, brother. That's what David said. He said, I came down here with a purpose in my heart. And when I heard that big baboon out there defying the armies of God, it just stirred up some purpose in me. And then he said, is there not a cause? What's going on around here? Why are people just sitting back, allowing these things to happen without stepping forward and speaking up? That's what David's saying. He says, is there not a cause? Well, the Bible says in verse number 30 that many others spake after the same manner. And then if you look at verse number 33, the leader said, oh, now don't get too excited. So you'll have a lot of people try to tell you how you can't do it and why you can't do it. You'll have a lot of people tell you that. Don't listen to them. God's put in you the ability to do. And God has commanded you to do. And what God's commanded us to do, he will enable us to do. Amen? And so David went down, and he had great confidence. But it wasn't in himself. Look, if you would, as we close with these two final scriptures, I want you to look at verse number 26, first of all. We'll look at verse number 26, and then we'll read one other, and we'll have a word of prayer and be done today. Look, if you would, in verse number 26. The Bible says in verse number 26, David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now that is an air of confidence. You know what David's saying? There's a cause. There's a cause. Brethren, I'm telling you, there's a cause. And if we don't wake up, if we somehow don't shake ourselves and wake up and realize that there's a cause, we're going to lose more ground. And that is going to be a great peril to our freedoms and liberties. And so I challenge you today. Find your cause. There is a cause. Find your cause in the battle. And fight the good fight of faith. For some of you, it's just going to be just a difference of just changing the way you live. That's where it'll start. Just quit going with the way of evil. Quit going with the way of the world and go with the way of God. Set a standard where you are and let people see Jesus in your life. Don't laugh at their filthy jokes. Amen. Don't join them with their filthy minds and the way they view things and people. Don't do that. Take a stand. Live a clean, righteous life for the glory of God. You say, preacher, you think we're going to be able to win this thing? Can I tell you, I've never doubted. Tuesday I voted. And you should have. And you can say amen. You say, well, you know, preacher, we're live and they might be kind of watching us from Washington. Hey, Washington. Amen. Listen, you say, you're arrogant. I'm not arrogant, brother. I'm confident. God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. I didn't write Washington to ask him if I could preach this message. Don't take what I'm saying to you this morning wrong. But I'm not, Washington's not running this thing here. Right. We're praying for them. Yeah. All right? Understand who you belong to. Understand where we are. Yeah. Yeah. We're in God's army. Amen. We're part of God's family. God has a work for us to do. All right? And God's expecting us to do it. He is. But now if the battle's going to be won, David said it right here in this passage, the battle's the Lord's. It belongs to him. And God wants to do it through us. You say, did God come down and smite Goliath? No. He just worked through David to do it, just like he wants to work through you and he wants to work through me to defeat the enemy. But David realized, without the Lord's help, we're not going to get this done. And I hope that you realize that today. Without the Lord's help, this is not going to get done. So please don't take this as, well, the preacher's done gotten arrogant. I don't know what's gotten into the preacher. I'll tell you a little bit of what's gotten into me. I think it's about time to push back a little bit. I think it's time for us to let people know, look, we're Christians. We're not violent people. We're not mean-spirited people. We're loving, kind people. We love our Lord Jesus, and we want to serve Him, but we're not going to let you come to our home turf and steal our children. Amen. And take our Bibles. Amen. And we could get to guns and everything else now if you wanted to, but I'm telling you right now, it's time as believers that we stand up and be counted. Because there is a cause. And I just thought on this Veterans Day, when we had several men and a lady line up right here, that whatever year that they entered into the service, what they were basically saying is, there's a cause. They did it because they saw a cause. They had a cause. And they went and they defended and they protected and they preserved the things that they defended and protected and preserved because they had a cause. And we will too. When we have a cause. Let's all stand. Is there not a cause? That's a rhetorical question. Sure there's a cause. Sure there's a cause. Find your cause. Find your purpose. Find something worth fighting for, worth standing for. And then stand. Stand. Don't back down. I'm not advocating violence. I'm not advocating demonstrations. I'm not advocating rioting in the streets. I'm just saying it's okay to stand and let a person know, sir, I don't appreciate your sense of humor. I'm a Christian. Vulgarity doesn't appeal to me. I don't think there's a thing wrong with that. Amen?